And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Thessalonians again in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 2. And in our little exercise of late, we were looking at the time in which we live in these days of God's grace before he comes. And in the process of such exercise, we are stewards, as we share together, of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We're stewards. We have the custodialship of exercising information and an understanding of the day in which we live, which was never known, never even conceived of. We are custodians of that. And we aren't knowing about the mysteries. We are the mystery. We are the mystery. And in the midst of being that, in the midst, we are a mystery. In the midst of the mysteries, we're the mystery. In the midst of the mysteries. Now, and we share together in the light of that mystery of godliness, God's wonderful, 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 wonderful thing that God has done. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Godliness. To be able to have a wholehearted relationship to God in a wonderful, wonderful way. To know him. That's what it's about. And thus, in the mystery of such, in that mystery of godliness, which is very rare on planet Earth, is the mystery of lawlessness, chapter 2, and in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness. So here's the unique, wonderful thing that Old Testament saints just couldn't even conceive of, that God himself would find his home in the human heart, and his church would be the vessel, the way that God would make known his wonderful saving grace by his church. Now, keeping that in mind, and then the mystery of lawlessness without the law, no law. And the mystery of lawlessness comes along. And it isn't like in the tribulation. Wicked, wicked lawlessness. Downright bad against God. Out and out bad against God. It isn't like that. No, it's lawless. Without God. Now, and don't do all that. What do you know? You know, here's the mystery of godliness. Now, and the New Testament about his church, his body. Now, having said that, now what if I was the bad guy, and we've done all these things now, in the process of that being the bad guy, I'm going to come along. I can't come along with a pitchfork like you think of the devil coming after you with a pitchfork or something. You can't do that. No, that's not going to work. So what are we going to do? We're going to come and counterfeit, as we shared in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, etc. We're going to go and counterfeit. And what are we going to do? We're going to corrupt, like we corrupted Israel, and thus they are put on the shelf at the moment. And thus they're a mystery. So what are you going to do, Mr. Bad Guy? I'm going to go and I'm going to counterfeit in my and you're going to have what? You're going to say we're godly and we're trusting God and everything like that, when we really aren't in too many cases. So we have our churches, when you really think about it, and then there's his church. When was the last time? You never hear it. I never hear it, even at a conference. I never heard it. Well, here what? His church. You know, it's my church, it's our church. It's our churches. Uh-huh. It's all about us. And we don't even know it. We don't even know it. Where are our churches going to go? They're going to go right down wherever they're headed now, as we're going to see Revelation chapter 17. That's where they're going. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 7, chapter 2, for the mystery of iniquity and lawlessness is already working. And you know from 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist existed way back then. And think where we are now, how close we are from in time. Years ago, we said we could be living and the Antichrist has to be born and he has to grow up and be a man and be the man. So when we're on planet Earth now, all these years have gone by, the Antichrist will be walking on the earth while we're here in some form. We won't know. The man has to be alive. And so he wasn't alive 100 years ago. Well, he may be alive today. I don't know. And you don't know. So now, having said that, and the mystery of iniquity already does work, the spirit of Antichrist is already there against God, going down the corridor of time. And only God, the Spirit of God, as we did this, only the Spirit of God holds it back. Evil would like to charge forward rapidly, and it's seeking to do so. But it can't do very fast, because the Spirit of God holds it down, restrains it, so it can't go so fast. Now, having said that, the mystery of iniquity. Now, take a look at that, if I can, in the light of God's word, that awesome, awesome thing. So, if I can, over to Romans in chapter 1 for a moment, and to try to put this together. Always Romans 1, because it is so critical to the information we need. So wonderful, related to the information we need. So, Romans chapter 1, sliding, if I may, you already know, you know that, I'll read verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, who he is, that they are without excuse. And that's because, verse 19, God has made himself known to them. And therefore, what did we do? They went, verse 26, they didn't want to honor God, so therefore, 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hang on to that. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God, like to an image made like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things, sliding down for time's sake. And they changed, I'll read it, verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped the Creator, worshipped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What did they do? They did a very dumb thing. They went, instead of honoring God, who we are made in His image and likeness, instead of honoring God, they honored the creation, idolatry. They honored, and what do you know about idolatry? Ezekiel in 14, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. And Ezekiel 14, remember, tells us that all idolatry, all religious systems come from within our own heart. We make idolatry. We are the source of all the idols and all the religions in the world. We are. All by our lonesome. We do it. We're fools. And God said, you have done a very dumb thing. You have gone and made you, who God made in His image and likeness, to know Him. You have made yourself images. You have made yourself gods and systems, and you have robbed yourself. You have ruined yourself. You have squandered your awesome time on earth when you could have known me. I didn't make you to be nothing. Flesh, Genesis 3:19. We are dust. We're going back to dust. I didn't make you for that. I made you to know and honor and enjoy God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. That's what I made possible. And you've squandered it all. Now, having said that, and we do that in Jeremiah chapter 10 and all of those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful in God's Word pages. Now, and so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, now to exercise. Let's go over, if I can, to back into yesterday to see this, to understand idolatry and the foolishness, the mystery of lawlessness is an awesome, foolish thing to get us tied up in being religious and ending up, where does the mystery of lawlessness go? It points to whom? It points to the Lord. It points to the Antichrist. Where does the mystery of godliness go? It points to the soon coming of Christ. So the mystery of godliness, lawlessness, pointing to the Antichrist, all the systems. We make them, and there he is, the Antichrist. Now, the image of man. Now, sliding down and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Deuteronomy. And a little exercise again, which you are familiar with. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll remember now, here's the blessings, chapter 1, 28, 1 through 15. When we go after 15, we go to one long stretch where God takes a long time explaining, if you don't be blessed, you'll be cursed. And then he takes one long time to tell you the seriousness of being cursed. God tells you there's a wonderful heaven, but he spends more time telling you about hell. Spends more time telling you about hell, not heaven. Why? Because that's what you need. You're not going to get to heaven if you don't avoid hell. You're just not going to get there. Now, hang on. So now, the exercise. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 28. And as if we can, sliding over to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then you go, then you start the long journey to be reminded of the sobering, sobering words that God gives. So, and in the process, just slide over if I can to verse 28. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness, blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind groping in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. And you can reading, it's going to go bad to worse. Wow. Now, but in particular, in verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness. And that's what I want to look at again. You remember we did that, reminded of that when we did Jeremiah. Madness. What is madness? It's reflexive. It's reflexive in me. Madness. You yourself, you're doing it. It comes out of you. It's because you're thinking. It's personal, reflexive. You yourself caused this madness. This going to and fro, to rage, to be mad, to be foolish, to be senseless, to be unsoundness of mind, to and fro with great vigor, violence, in fact, violence. You're throwing yourself, you go mad, foolish, violent, shaking. That's what you do. It's madness. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get into, when you leave God out, and you're going to try to go down the corridor of time based on the system and your own thinking and how you feel about things. You're going to end up, you don't have anything. And as you get caught up in yourself and in idolatry, that means substituting something and someone in some way in place of God, putting something in place of God. And when you do that, yes, dumb. It's madness, he says. It's madness when you do that. How so? Let's see. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, or if I can please, in the light of that, and Israel. So Israel gets into idolatry. That's why the Assyrians win. That's why the Babylonians win. Now, over if I can please, to a book of Isaiah. And if I can, Isaiah chapter 44. We'll do it for us. Isaiah chapter 44. And you will note. And the background to that, remember, chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer as Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show them unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid, for have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God beside me. No God beside me. So now, keeping that in mind, sliding along, and it tells you about idolatry. In picking it up, verse 12, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashion it with, this is making an idol. Where do you make an idol? From our mind, we design something and make it and worketh it. Worketh it with the strength of his arms. He is hungry, and he stretcheth his strength, his faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule to make, and he maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He maketh it out with a compass. He maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house. In other words, we have idols, and we have them in our house and outside. And you can, as you keep reading, sliding down to verse 16, they're going to burn everything. Verse 16, he burneth part of it in the fire, with part of thereof he eateth flesh. In other words, he uses it to cook his food. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. The fire keeps me warm. Verse 17, the residue, the rest of it, what are you going to do? He maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. That's what he did. The dumb thing, you went and did the whole thing, and then you made your little idol, and then you bowed down and worshipped it. And then what? Instead of loving and honoring the Creator, you loved the creature, you loved yourself. You went and made your own idol in your own way for your own reasons. Now, sliding over, without catching it all, verse 20, he feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He holds his God up, and he can't confess. He won't be realistic. It's a false thing that you got in your hand, but you will not be able to say that. You're so committed to what you're thinking and feeling and doing, you won't change. You hold it up and say, my idol. And I won't let it be an idol, I let it be my God. Now, and so therefore, if I can, sliding along, verse, sliding down, verse, well, I'm trying to save time too much. Verse 25, well, I got to read a little, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, that frustrateth the tokens, the signs of the liars, that maketh divine. In other words, you look at the eclipse and everything in the sky, you're doing all these things, and I make them, and you guys go and misunderstand them, and maketh diviners mad. I'm going to make your people that are leading you mad. I'm going to make them mad. I'm going to frustrate them, and they're going to be mad. And our word insane becomes along that line, violent, mad, all over the place, shaking violently. They lost control in their mind. They're mad. Now, verse 25. He maketh the diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward. He maketh their knowledge foolish. Now, hang on to that if you can, and go with me, please, over to Jeremiah. And you're going to see it again, as you would remember. Chapter 25, Jeremiah, and chapter 25, picking up, if I may, and you'll catch it again. The idolatry, God told them from the very beginning in Deuteronomy, don't get into the way the people think. You're going to follow what they think and how they feel, and you're going to end up a fool, and you'll be mad. You'll be dumb, dumb, dumb. You went and threw who you are and what you could be. You threw it away to be like the system, wood and hay and stubble, and I can do nothing with you. I made you to enjoy my awesome person, and you didn't do it. You're mad, foolish, you're insane to do such things. Now, hang on to that. So chapter 25, just picking it up, show you, as you remember it, And if I go, may I go to verse 15, 25. And verse Jeremiah 25, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the God of Israel unto me, take the one cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad, because the sword that I will send them among them. Now hang on to that. What are you going to do? I'm going to let idolatry have its way in your life. Romans chapter 1. What is, don't have to turn there. What did you read? God gave them up to their own way. He gave them up to their thinking. And he said, you dummies, you're going the wrong direction. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and you remember as we went through Jeremiah chapter 50. And you'll pick up if I can in chapter 50. And you'll remember in those closing chapters the wonderful summaries of all that was happening. And so when you come to Jeremiah and chapter 50, going, if I can, in verse 37. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. Verse 38. A drought is upon her waters. They shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. That's what they're doing. They're mad. That's why the Babylonians won. That's why Nebuchadnezzar could do it. They were dumb enough to follow the world around them like Nebuchadnezzar, and they lost out. Now again, chapter 51. And in chapter 51, you'll remember, we hit it again. Thus, verse, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 4. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in the streets. Verse 5. Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, and he will render unto her a recompense. Verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. They're mad. They're going to go against God. Now, you remember Jeremiah 51, and then we over again to Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 17, chapter 18, actually, and then we'll do 17. Revelation 18, this is the Babylon, and the world looks at it, Babylon, the great commercial religious center, which is busy, all of that's going to be over there when Iran and all of that. Chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, devils, demons. One devil, many demons. And hold, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, what are they doing? What is the religious world doing? I mean, the political world. The political world is looking to the religious world. What we started with, his church. You very rarely hear it. When was the last time you heard it? When is the last time you used it? When did you do it? We don't, it's our churches and my church, and that's how we do it. We're earthly. We aren't sensing. It has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with him. It's his church. Now, what is the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches? What are all these things? They aren't on target. Now, let me just say it so you don't think wrong. Believers, what do you do to be a believer? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, either you do that or you don't do that. Whether you're a Muslim, a Catholic, Protestant, whatever you are, either you receive him or you don't. No matter where, what uniform you're wearing or what building you go into, that makes you saved. But when we, that's getting Christ in the heart. But what do? We follow the system. And the system is there. And the system we have, we're looking for leadership. We're looking for someone to follow because that's what we do. We're going to follow ourselves. We don't even know where we're going. So we're looking for something. In some way, that's what we do. And we do that. So in looking for that, we follow it. Christ died on the cross, and who represents Christ? The fellow over there in Rome. Who represents him? Where's the authority for the Protestant church? There isn't any. That's why it goes back to Roman Catholicism. You understand? The umbilical cord was never cut. And we got Lutheranism, but Luther didn't want to go back. Luther didn't want to get out of the Catholic Church. He just wanted them to get back to the scriptures. But they didn't do that. And you got all these different things. We don't go back to the scriptures. We go to the system. Authority. That's it. That's a mystery. The mystery of lawlessness. Boy, is it good. Is it good. The outworking of it. Yep. We're going to be apostles of righteousness and all these different light and all of that, righteousness, etc. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, having said that a little bit, and as you put that together a little bit, here they are. What are we doing? As we go down the corridor of time, the great system we live in isn't looking to go to heaven. The World Council of Churches isn't looking to go to heaven. They're looking to outwork the system. They aren't looking for the soon return of Christ. They're just not doing that. They aren't even thinking of it. They're looking to work out unity and oneness among us to make it go down. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have this system, and we're looking to the system. And the product, all of them are there. All the different religions, Presbyterian, all of them, they're all there. But they're our churches, and we aren't locked on. We aren't locked on to thus saith the Lord. We're locked on to our system. And to the extent we're caught in the system, keeps us from enjoying being saved. We're caught in the system. That's what we're doing. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, just touching it so you see it, it's just easy to see. You say, well, boy, it's all working. No, you better think again. You need to see it differently. How does God see it? Not how do people see it. How does God see it? God doesn't tell you weakness. He never said that. He never said you're a church. He never said that. It isn't yours. Never was it yours. You became his when you got saved. So, now, having said that, keeping that, I think, you got a little taste of it, I think. I think you know it. It's just there. Everyone can't be bad. No, they aren't. But you need to get saved, no matter what system you're in. What system? You need to be thoroughly saved. And you have to be saved. Believe in Christ. How did you believe? You went to his word straightway. Now, having said that, how does that, in Revelation 18:3, the system drank from the cup of her fornications. The religious system, unity, all coming together, Muslims, Catholics, Protestants, move together in a wonderful movement forward. And this political system drinks of it, because that's where their power is going to come, to take by way of religion and use it to bring together their oneness. And that's when the devil gets in with the Antichrist, etc. Now, but to tie it, we got too many things going. Revelation chapter 17. What do we know about the political system? Verse 1, in the middle of verse 1. Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the waters. And she's going to go, and the political system's going to use the religious system in an awesome way to get drunk, to get mad, to follow the system where it's going. They're going to follow it, and they are not going to be happy when that does. But they're going there and sliding down, so you see it. You know it anyway. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Ah, that's what we're drinking. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. Now, what are you going to call this God? And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. God said, I'm trying to tell you. You understand what's happening? I said, oh, it isn't nice. No, it isn't nice. But it's going to get darker and less. That's why the people aren't interested. What does it say? We're trusting in a system, whatever authority out there, to get us there. That's what we're doing. The mother of harlots. Yeah. That's interesting. And if the devil's one smart rascal, and he knows what he's doing. And people aren't, I can just say all this, and no one's going to believe it anyway. They don't believe it. They don't even want to hear it. Okay, now, help me a little bit. I want you to see, it's a system. Yeah. Now, over if I can, exercise. That's earthly. Why are we caught up in the earthly? We're earthlings. We're here. We don't want to have to think about God from a heavenly standpoint, because we aren't fit for heaven. We have to get saved to get to heaven. So we don't think about heaven, because then we aren't ready to go to heaven. Not to God's heaven. We aren't holy. We aren't there. We need to be saved. So we don't think about heaven in a good way. We think about in one way or another, the bad way. I'm going to go to heaven to be with my dog, you say. That's good. Some other thing. Now, over if you would to the Ecclesiastes exercise, you know it. And the Ecclesiastes is going to help us understand What's it like on earth? Solomon, who was given a superior mind, it was a gift from God. So he could talk about any subject without ever reading a book. He could just talk about it, and God gave it to him. He could do it. Now, and he's rich, he's in a position of power, and now he exercises that. And Solomon says, listen, what happens if we look at the world we live in all of its fullness and wonderfulness, and let's see if we look at the world, what's it like when you leave God out of the picture? What's the world like when we leave God out? And that's what you have, Ecclesiastes, picking up, please, in chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know, what's the next one? Madness. Yeah. What is idolatry? You're leaving God out of the picture. You're leaving God out. So therefore, I gave my heart, verse 17, to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is a vexation of spirit, chasing the wind. It's a mess. It's a foolish thing. But I went and did it anyway, said Solomon. I thought about everything on earth, everything you could possibly want to have. And you know as you do it. Chapter 2. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? When it's all done, you laughed, had a joke, wonderful. Then what? Then what? What do you got? Laughter is fun? Done. When you ate your lunch, you had your lunch is digested. I had my lunch. That's right. And you're going to have another lunch because it can't give you life. It only gives you physical life. That's all it can give you. Laugh, it's joke, it's fun, be happy. Yeah, you can do that. But what's it going to do? If that's all we got, better you go to the house of mourning, Ecclesiastes 7. So now, chapter 2, verse 12. I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. In other words, you can't do any more. The king's done everything. It didn't do him any good anyway. So what's the whole point? Chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 7. Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Verse 25. It makes you mad. When you have, I applied mine heart, verse 25, chapter 7. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. I did it. I kept following through. I had the power, the right, and the time. And when I did everything and had everything, and he did, he had nothing at all. It was foolish. Madness. It was insane. I wasn't made for such things. No, you're made for better than that. Now, chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 3. I have to read verse 2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrificeth not. As good. The flood can come like in Hawaii in that. The flood can come. And it comes to this house and this house. It doesn't make any difference. The good guy and the bad guy. The flood comes. Going to come. That's right. The hurricane comes. Sickness comes. It comes. Yeah. So now, chapter 9, verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the heaven, under the sun. They, and there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, after that they go to the dead. And what did you earth, did you gain on living so many earth, days on earth? What did you get? What did you gain when you were all done? What do you got? Yeah. So, chapter 10. And you'll notice in chapter 10, if I can, sliding down, oh, you'll catch it, in verse 13. And the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also, verse 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, or what shall be after him. Who can tell him? No, and we just try to think we know everything, can do everything, and we can make it all work out in a most wonderful way. So when you're all done with Ecclesiastes, what are you going to do? Chapter 12. Chapter 12, without reading it, just verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not. When you're 10, 12, 13, you haven't got yet. You're going to hit it. The older you get, you're going to have to face the world's thinking and how you're going to think and how you're going to go. So get God right in your life when you're young. Lock it in, because the days are coming that you're going to have to face what everybody else is facing, growing up and living in a world that's going in the wrong direction. So therefore, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The day, evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Yeah, get old, we get older, and all our bodies, our body fails. And we say, wow, yeah, not, you're not full of vigor anymore. No. Chapter 12, the end, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, it all has to come to pass. So therefore, keeping that little bit in mind, God said, listen, the mystery of lawlessness as you go down is a smart thing for the devil, because we get caught up. We don't want to have to be that good. We don't want to have to be holy like he is. We don't mind being nice and nice people. We don't want to have to be like that. No. So I'm ready to stay this way down here. Yeah, and I can get along. Yeah. That's what I'd rather have now. So God, but that's the wrong way. The wrong way. Like Romans 1, professing themselves to be fools, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. No. No. So God, what do we got? Closing order. Order. Psalm 46. Over in Psalm 46. If I may. And remember, Psalm 46. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the worst things that could happen, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Samah, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. Verse 6, they're mad. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Now, sliding over quickly to verse 10 again. Remember, you know it. Be still. Be still. Be so. Let go. Cease. Cease. Quiet. Hold. Don't hold it fast. Let it go. Be still. Don't try to hold on and make it all work. What are you going to do? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Intensive. Be still, quiet, slack, yield, submit. Back off. Just relax. Relax. And you don't need to get help from elsewhere. God said, you don't need. God will help. God will be an ever-present help. And you don't have to worry about God's will. God, you're going to do your will in your way in your time. That's what you're going to do. I don't have to beg God, plead with God, or think about it. God's going to do the right thing in the right way. Knowing what? He can't do the wrong thing. He just can't do the wrong thing. He has to do the right thing. That's what you know. He has to do the right thing. And no matter what you fall into, and no matter how bad it is, you have to trust God. And God, therefore, you're going to have... And God said, don't worry about it. God is not going to fail. God's an ever-present help. He's right there. He isn't going to disappear. God said, you have an awesome relationship. Exercise it. When you received Christ as your Savior, exercise that relationship and understand you're more than flesh and blood. You're more than the grass of the field, the flower that blooms and disappears. You're more than that. I have made you to enjoy God's awesome, wonderful person right now, right here. Thank you very much.